We, of course, looked at the first half of this wonderful Old Testament story last Sunday evening. I said that I wanted to divide it into two, so we're going to pick things up halfway through verse 19. So 2 Kings chapter 5, starting to read at verse 19. After Naaman had travelled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean. Why not accepting from him what he brought? As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" he asked. "Everything is all right," Gehazi answered. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." "By all means, take 2 talents," said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. When he went in and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Imagine someone is wonderfully converted here at Crocken Hill Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. The gospel is sounded forth, and after the meeting, somebody comes up to me, or this person comes up to me and says, "I've trusted in Jesus, and it's wonderful. My heart is filled with inexpressible joy, and I want to give you a gift. To say thank you for sharing this wonderful message with me." And I say, "No problem. It'll cost you £250. I daren't ask what your response would be. I expect there would be a lot of displeasure and words spoken. Last week, we looked at the first half of 2 Kings chapter 5, where of course, we saw Naaman wonderfully healed of his leprosy. 7 times he washed in the River Jordan, and his leprosy was gone. God did a wonderful miracle in his life. Well, this week, we're looking at verses 19 through 27, where Gehazi, Elisha's servant, runs after Naaman and asks for a gift. In verse 5 of chapter 5, we see what Naaman brought with him from Aram to Israel. Halfway through verse 5, "So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing." Well, that's quite a lot, isn't it? And he brought this, no doubt, so that he could give it all to Elisha, should he perform his request to heal him of his leprosy. Well, he had been healed, as we know, and the gift had been offered. But verse 16 Elisha turned it down. As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. I wonder whether it was at least tempting for Elisha to accept it. Think of the good that he could possibly have done with it. We might ask the question, why? Why did he refuse it? Well, something of the answer is given in verse 26, isn't it? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyard or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? For whatever reason, this is clearly not the time. But I suspect that Elisha did not want Naaman to go back home to Aram, telling everybody that he met that the free grace of God in the end actually cost him something. We see in verse 19 that Naaman has begun to travel home and has gone some distance, only for Gehazi to do his best to try to catch up with him. And of course, he eventually does that and begins to tell lies. Let's pick things up at verse 21. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. This is where he lies, of course. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to meet me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. And we all know why Gehazi wants this gift, so that he can keep it for himself. Naaman is all too willing to let him have what he desires. And why wouldn't he? He's been blessed by God in such a wonderful way. He's in a place whereby he's willing just to give him whatever he asks for. Isn't that the case? By all means, take two talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. He gave them to two of his servants and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. And when Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. I wonder, is that a reference to his house or to one he shares with Elisha? I'm not entirely sure. He sent the men away and they left. Gehazi thinks he's got away with it. But then we read in verse 25, when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? And of course, another lie comes from his lips. Your servant didn't go anywhere, Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves or vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. What a terrible judgment. And we might ask the question, why did such a terrible judgment from God come upon Gehazi and his descendants? Was it because he told lies? Well, I suppose that might be part of the answer. But might I suggest to you it was because he put a price on the grace of God? See, that's a pretty serious thing to do, isn't it? To put a price on the grace, the free grace of God. The danger was, you see, that Naaman went home in view of all this and said to those that he bumped into, I've experienced a wonderful healing from the God of Israel. Look at me. No more leprosy. And all it cost me was 2 talents of silver and 2 sets of clothing. The people in Aram would have been used to bribing and cajoling and manipulating their gods in order to get something from them. And now they might be tempted to think that they needed to do the same with the God of Israel. Well, Elisha didn't want that. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, didn't want that. You see, his salvation is his free gift of grace, isn't it? I think that one of the reasons why we don't take up an offering during the service at Croggan Hill Baptist Church is because we don't want to give the impression that the salvation that we offer in Christ costs something in monetary terms. We want people to know that they can come to Jesus and receive salvation from him without money and price, don't we? In the New Testament, we find Paul offering full and free salvation in Christ and working as a tent maker so that he doesn't give the impression that he's in it for the money. Following Paul around here, there, and everywhere were, of course, those Judaizers. And you will remember how they tried to teach, particularly Paul's converts, that simple faith in Christ wasn't enough for salvation and that one needed to add to faith in Christ circumcision and the keeping of the law of Moses. But of course, in saying what they did, they perverted the gospel of grace. It's more than a free gift. You've got to try to earn it in some way by doing this or by doing that. Our God is a God of grace, isn't he? And his salvation is full and free. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and, what's the last word? Free. Free. In verse 27, we read that this is Elisha speaking, Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. Does what I've said this evening help us to see why such a terrible judgment came upon Gehazi? He did a wicked thing. And perhaps it helps us to understand why Paul says what he says in Galatians. If anyone perverts the gospel, if anyone adds to it, if anyone does damage to this salvation by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, well, let him be eternally condemned. It's such a serious matter, isn't it? Well, may we offer God's grace for what it is, full and free. Let's pray together. Lord God, God forbid that we should add to the gospel as the Judaizers did in Paul's day. God forbid that we should engage in gospel ministry for the money, though we recognize that Paul argued in the New Testament that a gospel worker deserves his wages. Lord, to many people it seems odd, it seems strange, it almost seems impossible to them that such a wonderful gift could indeed be God's free gift of grace. But we pray that you would help us to do our utmost to emphasize that is so. That indeed you invite people to come to your Son and to trust him for salvation without money and without price. Well, we thank you that Elisha got it right all those years ago. We're saddened that Gehazi got it so wrong. Help us to have the mind of Elisha. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.